This is Max Crosby, the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to JT the Brick on Raider Nation Radio.
It's the JT the Brick Show.
You know, we're going to have a lot of positive energy. The guys that love to compete and play with passion are going to have a chance at our place.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Man, I'm loving it, man. They're making my job tremendously easy to be out here with these young, talented players, man. I think we have a really good team.
I'm super excited. I'm already loving this fan base, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, everybody should be in here. We're live on YouTube. We're live on X. Let everybody know in the Raider Nation that a new era has begun. Yeah, I haven't said a new era has begun all the time. I said a new regime has begun. A new era in the Raider Nation is underway in Las Vegas, Nevada. A new era led by Pete Carroll. It better work. It better work. It looks pretty good to me. And he's 1-0. And he started. They're going to win some. They're going to lose some. But we are going to celebrate victories when we have them. We're going to celebrate them all week. And we're going to dip the show in reality. I like people who dip. I like people that deal in reality and tell you exactly what's happening when it happens. We're dipping the show in reality. It was not perfect. It was not perfect, but the Raiders won. And it is hard to win in this league. Real quickly, I was on the radio last night when Buffalo came back. And Buffalo was storming back. And after the game, the Bills won, and Sean McDermott, who literally felt like he was going to get run out of Buffalo. Buffalo's defense was awful. Lamar Jackson was tearing him up. And do you know what Sean McDermott said in his victory speech? He said, winning a game in this league is hard. Celebrate the victory. This is Buffalo. I picked them to win the Super Bowl. My point is, we celebrate victories when they happen because it's hard to win. Even the games you're supposed to win. Even the games where Cincinnati beat Cleveland by one and Joe Burrow was terrible yesterday, they won. You celebrate the victory. So we're going to do that all week because my brain can no longer handle not only losses, but dwelling on losses. When you've done this as long as I have, you know you're going to lose some games. You know it's going to be hard because you're embedded, you're passionate about this team, you want to win every game. So when you win, you're going to celebrate and have a good time. And I did that today on TV. It'll air in Vegas on Fox 5 at 1 o'clock. Eric Allen and I did Raiders Roundtable. We do that every Monday with Paul Gutierrez and Lincoln Kennedy. We put that in the can earlier today. My interview with Pete Carroll coming up later on this week. And we got a lot going on as we count down to Canelo and Bud Crawford, the fight, the super fight at Allegiant Stadium. And then the game on Monday night. So we get an extra day. Chargers get a few more days. Chargers look really good. Chargers look better than the Raiders. Fact, not fiction. The Chargers looked really good in São Paulo, Brazil. Even though it took them 13 and a half hours to get home, I know because I know someone on that staff. That was not easy. I mean, you had to get up on that flight two or three times and walk. It's that long of a flight. So the Chargers are going to have some time off, but the Raiders get some extra time off. And, man, how about a round of applause for Pete Carroll, who knows how to travel back east? I'm assuming I'm right on this, and I'm talking just West Coast, because Kansas City is not West Coast. Kansas City's in the Midwest. So if you go at all the teams that travel east to that early window, and that would be Seattle, the 49ers, the Rams, and the Chargers, and we'll throw in Arizona and the Raiders, no one has won more games. Unless I'm wrong, please tell me. No one has won more games than Pete Carroll going east that I can recall. And you can go back, and I'm sure John Madden with the Raiders in Oakland. But whatever it was, Pete Carroll is a king of traveling east. He has no fear. He has no excuses, and he went out and won. And more people that I talked to yesterday on the post-game show, when we wrapped it up, we said that was a Pete Carroll win. If you don't believe in coaching, and no disrespect to the former coaches, all the former coaches who have ever coached for the Raiders have wanted to win and been in the fourth quarter and games like that. Some won, some lost. Pete Carroll's at a different level. He's at a level of Madden and Flores and Gruden, who won a Super Bowl, just a few coaches who can find a way to win and put a game away. He's Pete bleeping Carroll. That's what he does. And we should really congratulate him today. And we should also congratulate John Spytek and the entire organization for winning that game. They put a lot of time into that offseason, as you know. It's just one game. It's just one game, but there's a lot of big things I like about that game. First, you, the fans. You, the fans of the Raiders. Those who went, the Black Hole, the New England Black Hole, the Raider Nation Drinking Club, everybody who went there, congratulations. That was wet. I just talked to superstar rock jock Steph McKenzie. She went there on the trip as they took corporate sponsors back, and she said Raider Nation was all over. Every bar she walked into in Boston, there were Raider fans there. And then you got rained on. Tailgate got, you got pouring on. You had to go buy a poncho. You were wet. You were uncomfortable. I mean, how would you like to live back there? I'm from back east. That's why I live out west. I mean, how would you like to? The first game of the year at MetLife with the Jets, pouring sideways. New England, drainage issues on the third deck. It's pouring. People are underwater. And that's supposed to be their good game, Bobby, their good month. Weather's supposed to be tank top flip-flops in Boston for at least the first game of the year, and it's pouring sideways, and the Raiders win. Now, we can dive into all week long with our insiders on what the Raiders need to improve on. I just did it today with Lincoln Kennedy. Lincoln went on a deep dive. Yesterday, we did the post-game show, and just coming off the top of my head, I said, we got to come up with a segment for Lincoln called Lincoln Kennedy Grades the Offensive Line. So we come out of a break. We didn't prep this. Lincoln and I didn't send him a text. I just said it live on the air. When we come back, Lincoln Kennedy will grade the offensive line. Lincoln gave him a C. Oh, boy. That Lincoln Kennedy's the real deal, man. That Lincoln Kennedy will tell you the truth all the time, man. He gave him a C. God, were they getting beat on stunts? Huh. Were they getting beat on stunts and delayed blitzes? We got to clean that up. You know I don't like the cleanup line. Clean it up. Got to clean it up. Geno was fantastic. Listen to this. Geno put up all those numbers in that game, and the Raiders' offense disappeared from my analysis for a quarter and a half. For a quarter and a half in that game, the Raiders were going backwards, and the Raiders were punting, and the Raiders still, with that passing attack, were absolutely brilliant, led by Geno Smith. How about this? Geno Smith recorded the most passing yards in a player's Raiders debut since Dan Pastorini in 1980. Five Raider wide receivers had at least one reception for 20 yards. Man, I love that. I absolutely love that. And Bowers, five receptions, 103 yards. I don't have an update on his knee. Long flight. Tom Pelissero said he's good. We'll see. Jacoby Myers, eight receptions, 97 yards, 12.1 yards a reception. How good was that? So everybody overall, come on, man. I mean, Geno, how was Geno's deep throws? That touchdown to Trey Tucker, Bobby, that first touchdown to Trey Tucker was just incredible that he was able to get that touchdown where he got behind the defense. And Trey Tucker was just absolutely incredible on a route where that the ball just got thrown into a bucket. It was a perfectly thrown ball. But Trey still had to get his feet down in the rain, and this is how it sounded.
Bowers split out wide right. Snap to Geno. Patriots show blitz off his back foot. Lob to the end zone. Open man is Tucker. Underneath it. Caught. Touchdown, Raiders. Geno Smith delivers a 26-yard strike. Trey Tucker all alone in the back of the end zone, hold it in, and the Raiders go right down the field on the opening drive for six.
Jason Horowitz on the call. I mean, incredible. Why didn't we do that more? Where was that again? I mean, you saw it. It worked, but everybody was catching deep balls. I'd like to see that same route. Remember? Run the plays that you ran in Henderson. They ran that play nice. I mean, that was gorgeous. That was bleeping gorgeous. And the Raiders take the lead. And then the Raiders take the lead, and they got the ball, and they're driving again. But then there was an interception, and the interception was thrown into triple coverage. Triple coverage along the way, and the fourth guy was the guy who caught it on a tip. They would have went up 14-0 or 10-0. And as soon as the Raiders turned the ball over, I said, here we go. Oh, man, here we go. What's going on? We're going to let New England back in the game? Oh, wait a second. We could blow them out. Let's go. Let's keep pushing. And they're back in the game. And I'm like, this team isn't very good. They're not. Raiders beat a team. They weren't a great team. Had to win that game. And they were able to do it as they clawed back into the game. So we'll get to the highlights a little bit later on. I said, when you call in, I'll take your calls. We'll do all that. And we'll get you up here because I want to make sure when we have you here, we get to you. But, wow. I mean, that was a really nice win. Now, I'd be glasses half full all week. Bowers, I hope he's okay. I don't have an update on Landon Roberts with his elbow. We'll find out. Devin White, give him the game ball after Pete Carroll. He had 11 tackles, 8 solo. How good was Devin White? I don't think we win that game without Devin White. Caillou Blue Kelly, who played right down the block at Bishop Gorman, got thrown into the fire. I was not comfortable with that. And I've seen Caillou play. I was not comfortable with that, and he played well. Eric Stokes played well. Max, who didn't show up like massively in the stat sheet, he was a game wrecker. You know they triple-teamed him? I had a chart. I saw like 11 double teams on him in a triple team, and he was still chasing Drake May down. And then let's get to the Ashton Jeanty performance because he only had 38 yards, Ashton Jeanty, in the game. But I look at it differently here. I think that Ashton in this game accomplished something really big. 19 carries, 38 yards, 2 receptions. He had a touchdown. Let's congratulate him, that young man, on a touchdown to start his career off on the road. We don't get that touchdown from him. I don't know if we win the game. So if he comes up short and we kick a field goal and Fabian's going -4, that would be a bad -4. That would have hurt, but here's Ashton Jeanty, his first touchdown in the NFL.
Bowers motions right to left. Snap. Handoff. Jeanty trying to pick his way forward. He's pushed. He gets out of the pile. Touchdown, Raiders! Ashton Jeanty, his first career score. And the Raiders capitalized on the pick. They go down for 6 and take a 13-10 lead in the third.
Do your dance. Do your dance, young man. Do your dance.
Now, the reason I don't think he had a great game on the ground is, first off, New England's pretty good at stopping the run. You would admit. Mike Vrabel team. They wanted to take Jeanty out of the game. They were able to do it. Secondly, our offensive line didn't get much of a push. Problem. Little bit of an issue to me. Got to get that offensive line to get a push, or we could be dealing with what we dealt with last year. Right? We could be dealing with that from last year. You know, Zeus couldn't get to the line of scrimmage. Ashton Jeanty couldn't get to the line of scrimmage on a couple of those plays. Got to fix that. Or are we just going to not be good at that? We got to get good at that. We got to be able to run block. We got to run block better. But Jeanty scored. That's all I care about. And the Raiders won the game. So with all of that combined, today and tomorrow, what we've always done on this show is the first 2 days we recap the game. When the Raiders lose, it's kind of miserable. Everybody calls in, sky's falling. None of that. And then we move on to the opponent, the Chargers. And I get to that on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we don't play till Monday night. So with all this happening here, I think you and Raider Nation should really focus on this and focus on whatever you want, but here's what I'm focusing on. Number one, Pete Carroll win. Do you believe in adjustments like I do? Do you believe in adjustments? He's the king of adjustments. He is. If you look at it, and Andy Reid plays a lot with the lead. No one talked about Andy Reid making adjustments when he was with the Eagles. Nobody. Not one person said Andy Reid, when he was with the Eagles, makes great halftime adjustments. They ran him out of town. Kansas City took over. They're up 30 in half the games they played. He's a very good coach. On the hierarchy of coaching, Andy Reid has gone by Coach Carroll just because of the Super Bowls. But Pete Carroll's right even with him when it comes to knowledge and toughness and winning. So winning that game was a Pete Carroll clinic. Halftime adjustments. Chip Kelly, they didn't panic. They stuck with their plan, right? I was talking to a Raider fan today, my buddy Thomas. I go, what'd you think? He goes, it was great. We didn't panic. We stuck with the plan. We didn't get away from the plan. You know, I think they threw it more than they wanted to run it, which was interesting because it was a wet game and you'd want to run it more. But Geno was okay. Oh, let's get rid of that. Geno can't play with the wet ball. He did. He won the game. He looked really good. And then the defense, you know, the middle of the field still open. That's a problem because Justin Herbert and Mahomes will find the middle of the field and attack it. They will. So we got to figure out a way to slow that down. And then I hope the depth of the team isn't an issue because in the first game, Brock Bowers went into the tent and Landon Roberts couldn't come back and play. Those are two big players. And we'll find out when the injury report comes out how they look. So that's what we're doing today. We're celebrating the victory. I need these days. I need these days for my brain, too. I need these. I need a couple of days where I'm not fighting everybody on why the Raiders didn't do something right. Let's celebrate the victories. Not my first rodeo. Let's have a good time. Let's celebrate. We live in Vegas. For those who are coming to Vegas or live outside the market, you probably had a great time in a sports bar or watching the game. My wife was at Burbank Airport. She went to see Oasis. She goes to the Burbank Airport. Burbank Airport, no Raider games on TV. She's at the gate. Like, she wants to go watch the Raider game. They're like blacked out in L.A. Those scoundrels. Those scoundrels. But the Raiders won. And I even saw the Raiders on the Today Show. They had someone do a recap on the Today Show, the big one in New York. We have that on in the morning sometimes. And they even mentioned the Raiders winning. Oh, Denver was so ready to get beat. Circa Survivor, the big contest around the world, would have crashed and burned like last year if Denver lost. Denver was so ripe to lose that game to Tennessee. They basically were ready to lose, but it was Tennessee. And around the league, it was wild. How about Russell Wilson? I think he's a pretty good player. Done. Get Jackson Dart in. Russell Wilson had his chance. He looked like he aged another 5 years. He's not doing what Tom Brady was doing with those avocado shakes. I can tell you that. He's not doing that because he didn't look good. And then you go around the league. A couple of teams lost games on fumbles. Do you know Seattle was going towards the end zone about to beat the Niners? And they fumble? After Bosa makes the sack, the Niners win. And the Niners don't have many tough games this year. Three of the games on the Niners' schedule are against high schools in the Bay Area. The Niners are playing three high school teams on the schedule this year, but they won the game. They won it in impressive fashion. And I could do five nights a week this week on Baltimore losing. John Harbaugh's stats in losing leads are mind-blowing. How many times Lamar Jackson, who actually pushed the fan, do you imagine if a Raider quarterback pushed the fan? Now, I know the fan hit him on the head on the top of the helmet. Lamar throws him backwards. If that was a Raider quarterback, he'd be suspended for four games. And everyone's laughing it up. You know, on the broadcast columns where it's like, you know, it's all right. No, it's not all right. You're not allowed to touch fans. I guess you can, but if you're a Raider quarterback, they throw you out of the league. Let's get out to Raider Man, who set the tone last week, and he kicks us off with the victory. What's happening, Raider Man?
Man, what's going on, JT? And shouts out to Raider Nation all over, man. Global, average extraordinaires. I'm still, my heart is pumping fast. You know, as long as I've been calling on the radio station, it's been a long time since I got, I don't know if I'm calling it nervous. It feel like nervous energy. I don't get nerved up when I'm getting ready to make a phone call, but I'm still having a hard time finding breath to really compliment my Raiders, man. I mean, you know, it's like, it's a hell of a love story for me because it's great to just start passing out those kudos where they're due. You know, you got to shout out to the King Pete Carroll, you know, and all his prowess, you know, growing through everything he's grown through in this league. But the amount of coaching prowess that we have in layers of this football team, in this organization. We can literally use that term, organization. I've been a fanatic forever. I don't have to make sense of what stuff that I'm talking about. I rant and I rave, I praise. I make fun out of the dumbest things, and I praise the things that mean nothing just to make sure that we're going forward. But everything that happened yesterday was real-life football. And it made me feel proud as a Raider fan. I don't think I've ever been this excited as a Raider fan, not since I was a kid. You know what I mean? I was listening to you pass out the kudos to the guy that was making remarkable plays out there. It's one guy that you cannot leave off of this list because we didn't get this dude hell for the last couple, 2 years, and he deserved it, but he also deserved the kudos. One Tyree freaking Wilson, yes, man. That's why I watched that dude making plays. You remind, I was talking to one of you talking about that call I made last week. Man, I was trying to get this dude to tap into his Lyle, and I think I watched him do it. It looked good to see the monster out there playing monster, man. You know, he's on that size level where, you know, this guy is supposed to be a transcendent talent. He's a John Matuszak-type size guy, and he can make an impression out there. And he's watching him lock into his own and just do it under Max's leadership. It's a beautiful thing to see, man. You know, young Ashton, he didn't have that pinnacle game. He didn't have that 100-yard game and all the rest of that crap. But all I asked for was plenty old Genty, and that's a We got 19 carries out the box. We don't need to be burning up all this guy's erasers all the way out right now. We need this guy to last the entire season. He's a rookie. He's talented. He's smart. He's playing the game the right way. I would encourage him one thing that he can do, and he haven't really had the opportunity to do it yet. Tap into the history of the Raiders, man. Watch Marcus Allen tapes, because Marcus Allen used to just run out of bounds on them suckers. He didn't let nobody take undue shots at him, and that's why he had the career that he had. He had a lot of the tread on the tires.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Unfortunately, the good part of it got burnt off in Kansas City. But I want to shout out to freaking Geno Smith, man. Geno stepped up. It was his time to shine, and he's glimmering. I'm going to knock you a stat. 63 points in my fantasy football league. 17.70 for Jacoby, and I got a necessary 10 out of Ashton. I didn't win my matchup, but I won my game. I'm proud of my Raiders, JT. I'm about to get ready to get on something hot and smoking and get my behind over there. I'm hoping to catch up with you sooner than later because I need to get some things planned. It's time to do the Raider Oath, and I'm praying to God I get to do it at the torch. I'm going to see you when I'm looking at you, man.
Take care. That is Raider Man checking in and excited about the win the way he should. Original Raider fan. We have Mark Anderson at the bottom of the hour. So we'll have Mark Anderson at the bottom of the hour from the AP. He's embedded with the team, covers the team, and all of that. So we're excited for that. Let me get out to RB in Boston, where the Raiders came and invaded Providence, Rhode Island, up to Boston and get out of there with a victory. Go ahead.
Hey, JT. I'm sitting in the car just waiting for my flight back to Oakland. Figured this was the perfect time to get on the call phone and give you a call. Just want to say Raider Nation showed up. It was raining, cold. Everyone's out there. Raider chants all the way to the stadium. You get in. Everyone's juiced. The team came out swinging. Great touchdown for Trey Tucker. How happy must Trey Tucker be that he finally has a quarterback he can depend on week in and week out to get him the ball? That was very nice to see.
Yeah, that
we
was.
Down.
Yeah, but let me ask you, you tailgated, you got there, it was wet out there. I was talking to a lot of guys. It was wet. It was not cold, but it was uncomfortable. You want to go to a game and have fun. You want sunshine. And it didn't hurt the Raiders. The wet ball and the ability, the slippery field, the Raiders got the W.
It did not. No. Everyone thought that, you know, we can't do it. We can't come to the East Coast with the wet when it's raining. Who cares? New coach, Pete Carroll, he's here. He's going to take us to the promised land. He knows how to handle a good team. And we have good guys. We just need a true leader. And Pete is going to be our guy for the next few years. And we're so excited.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. Field Yates says, Ashton Jeanty played 86% of the snaps in week one and found the end zone. He just didn't get very much help from his offensive line. He had 38 total rushing yards and 44 rushing yards after contact. Gotta block him up better. Sam Munson will join us at the top of the hour on that, and we'll get into it with him. Chris in West Oakland. Wow, he's talking about victories. Chris, it wasn't perfect, but I know you love W's instead of L's.
As George Atkinson used to say, it's a W, baby, and at the end of the year, they don't say how, they say how many. And you're right, wasn't perfect, but we're talking about room for improvement, a non-perfect game, but we're talking it after a victory. How many times the last, two decades have we talked about this game? Yeah, it was there to be had. We had this, we had that. We can improve on all this after a loss. The one thing I liked, you can tell, like I said, this is it's a Pete Carroll thing. You never had that feeling, JT, of there just complete chaos. It was calm. Yes, it was a close game, but for most of the second half, unless they did something stupid, I felt pretty comfortable they were gonna win this game. You're right. Plenty to improve on, but as I said on Thursday or Friday when I called, I believe it's more important for Geno Smith to play at a high level than Ashton Jeanty. Don't get me wrong. We're going to need Ashton Jeanty. We're going to have to improve the running game. We're going to have to do things. But this team will ultimately go as far as competing for a playoff spot as Geno Smith will take them. Defensively, listen, we're great. I'd like to see a little more pressure up front, although Tyree Wilson had a good game. Palomo, listen, that interception was airmailed right to him. But damn it, we finally had a defensive back that caught the ball instead of watching it slip through his hands, then look at both of them like he's been betrayed by an ex-wife. So, again, Nothing perfect, but the Pete Carroll era got off to a great start. I would expect nothing more. Offensively, weren't flashy, but I don't think this is going to be a flashy team. I think it's going to be a bread and meat and potatoes team. They're going to run the ball. They're going to take their shots. But at the end of the day, JT, it's nice to be talking about a victory after week one. The Chargers are going to be a little bit different, but we'll worry about that. Oh, and one more thing about JT, you're right. The offensive line. This ain't Derrick Henry at 260 pounds. Mm-hmm. You can't force this guy to keep constantly running through linemen and linebackers. He's 205 pounds. He's going to need to hit the hole, get to the second level, then dish out some punishment. But again, all things to work on. But at the end of the day, much better talking it after a W after week one. Because if this team is going to go 9-10 wins, compete for a playoff spot, these are the games you have to win. You can't lose to Jacksonville. You can't lose to New England. And the Pete Carroll era got off to a great start because they took care of business. They went in. It was a workmanlike performance. Wasn't flashy, but like you said, at the end of the day, man, it's a W. That's all that matters. Let's keep getting better, and let's keep stacking W's while we get better. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, Chris in West Oakland. Good to have him up here as always. Man, it feels like a murderer's row. From the old Ticket 1050 days. I'm asking everyone nicely, and I would appreciate if everybody would join me on my live stream on YouTube. It's a big element with the show for our guests and everybody who's not in Vegas and can't hear this show on an AM station in Vegas. The Monologue is brought to you by PTs. They fuel the Monologue. What a place to watch a game. You watching Monday Night Football tonight? Your number one choice for us in the Monologue is PTs. They got 70-plus taverns. They got a sports book at the Strat. PT's proud partner of the show. And when we come back, we landed another big boy. Woo! We added another big boy partner, which is big. And I don't know how big it's going to get, but we get a taste of it, and we're excited. I'll tell you about that. Breaking advertising news. Look at this show. I even got Stoner Dude on hold. It's amazing, Bobby, how the phones work when we win. It's just nice. Imagine if every day, like the movie The Truman Show or Groundhog's Day, was a win. I just walked out of the house with a cup of coffee, picked up the paper, and the Raider Nation is winning games. Hey, we celebrate victories on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
But it was chasing him down on the far sideline. It wasn't like your prototypical sack. And again, the Patriots go fast on 2nd and 6. Pressure. This time he's hit as he throws. Deep over the middle. Picked off. Paul Lemieux falling down at the 29. Picks it off. Drake May was hit as he threw it. It was late. It was overshot his receiver. And Paul Lemieux has his second career interception.
Turn it up. I want to hear the bagpipes. AC/DC, let's go! Get it up!
Riding on the highway, going to the show.
Carol. Yes. That's why you watch. All right, before we bring in Mark Anderson, we want to welcome Fountain Blue. The Fountain Blue to the show. I got the alert from Andrew Paul on Friday. The Fountain Blue's in. The Culinary Collection. World-class entertainment. The Pool. The Hall of Excellence with Jim and Fran Gray and Tom Brady. You kidding me? Proud partner of the show, Fountain Blue. We are thrilled to tell you what we're going to do with them as we get going here. So that's what we got. We welcome Fountain Blue. Some dream properties you want to be associated with. I'm proud to be associated with Fountain Blue. We will knock it out of the park for them. The luxury casino property here on the Strip. Mark Anderson from the AP, who is a straight shooter. Mark, I'm like kind of into victories because I deal with losses from time to time. What did you see in the victory that impressed you the most?
Well, first of all, I'll play Led Zeppelin next time. I'd be much more into that.
Okay. I will. Noted.
You know, the second half defense, I'm going to write about that today. You know, the adjustments they made at halftime, I just don't – New England didn't know what to do with them. They were able to get a lot more pressure on Drake May. It clearly rattled him. It just felt like it got to the point where New England wasn't going to do anything. And the only reason they moved the ball at the end of the game was because the Raiders, with a two-possession lead and time on their side, backed off them and gave them those short yardage gains. And so they were able to move the ball down the field then because of that. But it was real impressive the adjustments they made.
Yeah, I thought the adjustments were the key to the game when they opened up. And we all know they're scripted plays, and they run that script in Henderson, and it was gorgeous right out of the gate. The middle of the field was open, Geno's connected, and then he takes that shot to Trey Tucker for the touchdown, and it was wide open. Trey had to make the catch in the rain, not easy to do, and the Raiders get off to a really good start. I was surprised we didn't see more of it. We saw a lot of completions over 20 yards, but that Trey Tucker bomb is open for business.
It is, and, you know, that's kind of – we've seen Trey do that sort of thing since he's been here, and I think you're starting to see him become more of an all-around receiver now. I don't know that he's going to be one of these 1,000-yard receivers like Jacoby's turned into, but I think you're starting to see him do more than just catch the long bombs, and they really need that out of him. And, you know, because I think Thornton is going to be their guy – mostly now for really stretching the field. But yeah, I do like the fact they're going downfield. It's the Raiders of old. You know, I'm sure a lot of longtime Raiders fans are thrilled to see this. And it's something that they just haven't done since they've been in Las Vegas, and even in their latter years in Oakland, they weren't really doing that. So it's, you know, the defense has to respect it, and it will open up so many more things. And I think Ashton's going to be fine. I don't think he got a lot of help up front, but I think they'll get that figured out. And I think you're going to start seeing him pop some runs.
Mark Anderson from the AP Raider Insider joins us every other Monday along with Harry Ruiz. I want to ask you about Devin White, because Landon Roberts goes out of the game. If you're bringing in, you know, a backup, and, you know, Tommy's okay at this point, but I'm looking at a veteran who stood up and said, I got this. I've been through this. I've won a Super Bowl. I played in tougher games and tougher environments than this one. And he took control. He had 11 tackles, 8 solos, and some big ones. I thought he was the key for the Raiders to get out of there and not have, you know, a step back or fall backwards in the second half and lose that game.
Yeah, he was one of their best free agent pickups. And I remember a few weeks ago, Pete Carroll came to the press room and said, Devin White is back. And that was, you know, I thought that was a pretty big statement on his part. Because that he didn't have to do that. He could have just, you know, played it easy and say, well, we know what he's done in the past, and we're starting to see signs of that out here. But no, he came out and said he's back. And Devin White came out and said pretty much the same thing, that he went through a lot of stuff. He went through the injuries. He went through some off the field stuff that was, he just had a really hard time coping with. And it took him a while, and he's still pretty young. I think he's what, 27, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're not talking about a 33-year-old player here. I think he's still got a lot left, and I can see him having a really big season.
All right, so when I look at this game, because I want to spend the rest of our time on the Chargers look really good. And Jim Harbaugh, he didn't abandon the run, but he let Justin Herbert do what I think he does best, throw deep, use that arm talent, be an elite player. He's elite. I don't care what any Raider fan says. Justin Herbert is elite. And he played that way in San Paulo. Now, the Raiders, the only way they're going to beat the Chargers if Kuntz and Tyree bat some balls down and Max is a disruptor in that game, because if Justin Herbert has a clean pocket it's going to be hard for the Raiders to get him off the field. What do you see that the Raiders can build on off of Foxborough to be in the game and beat the Chargers late?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they had some, well, they picked up the blitz pressure again at New England. I think they might have to do something like that. The problem if you do that with Herbert, he's got the athleticism to get out on the edge and pick up some yards. So you got to be careful about doing that. But I think they're going to have to be creative and mix things up and keep him guessing. I just don't think you can come on with the same approach every down. Just, you know, we're just going to send these four linemen at him and hope that's it. I just don't think that's the way to do it. I agree with you. He's elite. I think the Chargers see an opening here to win the division. The Chiefs, I think they're going to have regression to the mean with the Chiefs. So they won so many games last season that they just pulled out of their rear ends, and that you can't sustain that as good a run as they've been on. So I think this is the season it catches up to them. So I think the division's there for the taking. The Chargers know that, and Harbaugh teams, for whatever reason, by their second year tend to take off. So I think I can see the Chargers really going after this division title this season, and I think Herbert's got to prove he can win big games. It's sort of like him, Lamar Jackson, two of the quarterbacks that there's a big knock on them is, yeah, they look great on the stat sheet and they look great. You know, they pass the eye test for sure. But when it comes to big games, they don't get it done. So that's what he's got to prove he can do. And, you know, and he may see this game here as sort of a statement game. Obviously, Kansas City was one too, but just to sort of build on what he did in Sao Paulo.
Absolutely. Mark, great as always, man. Raiders are 1-0. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. I'll see you in the press box on Monday night.
Sounds good, JT. Thanks so much.
Mark Anderson from the AP. Great to have him on. Really big time. And he'll tell, like all of our insiders, tell the truth. We have Raider insiders who are outside the building, you know, but some we have that are outside the building, and Bill Williamson, Mark Anderson. You know, I'm a fan behind a microphone. These guys are journalists. They'll tell you what they think. All right, Stoner Dude, I'm sure you had a good time celebrating a Raider victory.
Hey, JT, you know, I celebrate every day all the time, and it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, but we want to rock and roll, so it's all good. We are along for the ride. You know, I love the fact that the callers called in today, JT, Raider man, Chris from West Oakland. And as far as Chris goes, you know, I agree with him as far as the idea or observation that the Raiders, even though they did not have the best first half except for that brilliant first drive, there was a little bit of concern, but there was no panic. We weren't worried. They weren't, like, freaking out. They weren't making bumbling mistakes one after another. I think what really came down to is that Patriot defense is a pretty good defense, and Mike Vrabel is a pretty good coach. So you got to give them their credit, too. But the point being is that what I was excited about the most, what I was impressed with the most, JT, was that, number one, that second half adjustment to go out there and still play football and go out to win the game. What I loved even more than that, JT, was everybody on offense touched the ball. Jack Betts got his first catch. Dante Thornton was making big catches. I'm starting to become a huge fan of that dude. I mean, the big plays downfield to Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, of course, the touchdown to Trey Tucker. I love seeing that. Geno Smith, when he's in the pocket, he actually has legs, JT. He can move. He can actually move the pocket. He can make plays, something we haven't seen in a long time when it comes to the Raiders. But, you know, we won. Chargers are a big challenge, AFC West rival. We got to go out there at a home opener and sell that place out with black jerseys and black that place out and really show what they're made of this year, JT.
Thank you, Stoner Dude. Appreciate you checking in. Great to hear. Yeah, this feels like the Ticket 1050 back in the day. And as he said, wear black. Wear black. Unless you're some of the housewives of Summerlin in my neighborhood, and they wear glitz and glamour. So the Summerlin housewives will be all in glitz and glamour. They might have a white coat on and glitzy. But if you're a hardcore Raider Nation, wear black. Just find a shirt that's black and black the place out. Because we've seen a lot of red in there, right? We see some orange in there. Stop it. Wear black, okay? And go to the game. Monday's going to be wild. Canelo on Saturday. Bud Crawford. Crawford's a better fighter, but Canelo's bigger. Talk to Joe Cortez about it. Wow, I'll tell you about that conversation. That's going to be a big deal. And then we have Sunday and then Monday, the Raiders I'll be talking to Pete Carroll Wednesday this week instead of tomorrow. So the schedule's a little bit changed a bit, but got a lot of stats, got a lot of information here. And I got an original old school Raider fan from Oakland, my good friend Raider Day, who's out and about in the town. What's up, Day?
Hey, what's going on, JT, man? That was a good way to start the season off. But like we both know, man, you know, it's a long season. There's going to be some positives. There are going to be some negatives. I look at the start of the season as the coaches and the first unit really getting time together. So this thing will gel out. But the things I notice is with Ashton Jeanty, it's not always about yards. The hardest thing for a back is knowing which blitzers to pack up and really holding your own in the blocking game, which he did to give Geno, you know, some time. Pre-snap penalties, third down penalties, penalties that kill and blow up your game plan. You know, when you work hard on first, second down, third down, you give up, you know, play. We did really well at that. There wasn't a lot of false starts and offside. So it seems like our IQ is a little bit better. I'm going to hold up, wait two or three games in to see this offensive line come together in jail. Ashton Jeanty will be productive. Everybody will. Man, remember, Chip Kelly's making those calls, and he knows offense.
Thanks, D. I'll push back on one thing. I didn't like the penalties at all. The Raiders had 9 for 81. I thought there were some bad penalties in that game. You can't win football games with 9 penalties unless you're playing the Patriots, and they have 9 penalties. That were flags all over the place. And I'm just happy that they didn't get us, because Caillou Blue Kelly was really defending hard. And he got hit for a PI that wasn't a PI. That was a hometown call. Jackson Powers Johnson ran a guy out of bounds. Late hit. Don't like that, because he just likes to destroy people. He's going to have to clean that up. And then a false start's going to come here and there. Don't jump off sides. Do your job. Remy Martin, 1738, is the official cognac of our show. Remy, 1738, specifically made for the American palate. It's smoother, lighter, and finished the same way bourbon is finished. It's great in a Manhattan, an old-fashioned espresso martini, or a Remy sidecar. Remy 1738, sip like sports royalty. Yeah, put your Remy into your old-fashioned or into your espresso martini. I think you're going to like that a lot. Mitch in Long Island, my hometown, my dirt. Mitch, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
It's Nick in Long Island. I'm the first caller in the history of your show from 2020. And I'm Mitch. It's Nick. How are you?
Well, why does it say Mitch? You're Nick. I got it. All right, Nick, we're good. We're good.
I think Bobby's upset that we beat his Patriots, maybe.
That could be it. That could be it, my friend. That could be it. How's Long Island doing? Hold on. Did you see how the Jets choked that game? The game was over. They fumble a kickoff. Rodgers throws for four. And the Giants couldn't get anything going. They're screaming for Jackson Dart on Long Island already.
These two New York teams, they have like the worst record in the last decade. It's been a rough go for both of those teams here for a while now. I don't know.
Yep. So give me a Raider takeaway.
That's a huge win yesterday. You go to New England week one. Granted, they weren't very good last year, but Mike Vrabel has always had a good team. He never had the best roster, but he was always a tough out. To go cross country, take them out week one, that was a huge win when you look at the schedule. Because I am always one of these people. Every year you hear how great the Chargers are. The Chargers flew a little bit under the radar this year, and it seems like the Broncos are now the off-season unwarranted crown champions because their coach loves leaking stuff to the media in exchange for good press. And they stink. Bo Nix stinks. I don't care. But the Chargers might be a problem watching that game Friday night. They looked like those Niner teams from 10, 15 years ago flying around the field playing violent defense that Harbaugh used to have. We needed to get this game yesterday, because you got the Commanders and the Chargers the next two. It was a must-win. But not all is well. I'm not going to let these guys off the hook because of the win. These referees, and I'm glad you just brought it up because I've been on hold for like 45 minutes to go in on these referees. That play, that pass interference on fourth round was a disgrace. It took away us having the ball at half field. It handed them a free 3 points. Not to mention they pretty much got away with a hold on that play by their running back. We had a free rush. The running back grabs them. They call a ticky-tack pass interference on us. They don't call a pass interference on Deontay Thornton's last catch of the game. That was a way worse, more contact than that play. No flag. Max Crosby gets a strip sack at the end of the game. They blow the whistle as we're running in for a touchdown. It's under 2 minutes. It should be an automatic review. They don't even review it. Yep. They just go to the next play. The referees, then they get another field goal because of that. Our defense, for all I'm concerned, we gave up 7 points yesterday. They were gifted six by these awful referees. And you know what, though? We're not letting the referees beat us anymore. We got Pete Carroll now. He's a winner. He says he wins 10 games every year, and he wasn't kidding. And that's why we went in there yesterday and took that game. Pete Carroll. Let's go, JT.
Great phone call. Appreciate it. Nick, fantastic. On Long Island, brought to you by Modelo. You know, they're the number one beer in America. That's hard to do. They weren't when they started with me. Now they are. The number one beer. It's the official cerveza of the Raiders and the official beer of fans with a fighting spirit. Modelo, rooted in the heart of Raider Nation. Drink responsibly. Imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois. Modelo, a proud partner of our show. On a Victory Monday, Sam Munson, who's fantastic, an insider at the top of the hour.
Two receivers split out to the right. It's Bouti and Douglas. Raiders with everyone near the line. Fake the handoff. May back to throw. Lobbing for Matt Collins. One for one. Knocked away.
No way.
The flag. Oh, Caillou Blue Kelly climbed the ladder to knock it down. But they say he got his hands in there and it's going to be pass interference.
You got to be kidding me. That was great defense. Caillou Blue Kelly played the hands. That ball was underthrown. And Caillou Blue Kelly went hand as the ball hit the arm of Hollins. No way!
Nice job by Kirk Morrison on the analysis. Jason Horowitz on the call. You heard Steph McKenzie, who just got back. Steph, the voice of the show. She does all the spots, the rejoins. She told you about the Castaverde Law Group. Alex and Orlando de Castaverde, good friends and proud partners of the show. You need an accident attorney in Vegas. You don't need one in Ames, Iowa. You don't need one in Syracuse, New York. You might. You need one in Vegas because it's insanity out there. If you get into an accident and are injured, 702-222-9999. The DeCastaverde Law Group, Brothers Win, brotherswin.com. Jesse, St. Mary's. Sorry about the wait, Jesse. We're packed. You're important to us. Go ahead.
You're all good, JT. I've been listening to you for years, and the one thing that I caught on was third downs. Our third down offense, third and 20, we treat that like third and 50. So that throw to Dante Thornton, our rookie, was great to see. Great call by Chip Kelly on that play. That's how I knew we were going to win this game.
Yeah, I would agree on that. And you got to throw to the marker. You got to throw to the marker. You can't throw. Sometimes you have to check down. If it's you're up against your end zone and it's third and 22 and you throw a screen, I'm good with it. But if you're at midfield and it's third and 20, throw it 20 yards and get a flag or get a completion, pass interference, and move the chains. Thank you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm a big believer in that. I think Chip Kelly is too. You see Charles Woodson? Charles was on Fox, Big Fox. He's an analyst. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He's a Hall of Famer. And I partnered with Charles in his Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. It's the official bourbon whiskey of the Black Hole and this show. The limited edition Black Hole bottle is on my bar at my house. Now available at WoodsonWhiskey.com. Mention JT the Brick and get 15% off, but you got to go to WoodsonWhiskey.com. Sam Munson is next.